Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get it on, baby.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the producer. Or the face that produces the place. Guys, he's struggling. By the way, T-Mill's best bets, three straight days in a red. I don't know. We got to think about something. We got to think about something to do here.
It hurts.
I mean, the way Clint was saying with C.J. Stroud, we got to change it up. Maybe swing this thing around. Maybe one of us pick the best bets. I don't know. 713-572-416, YouTube and Twitch. How do we shake this thing up as Tyler is struggling with best bets? Another 2-for-5 last night. What's something we could do different here to get you to get him back on the winning track?
I think the right thing to do is lean on your team, boys. You got to lean on your team, man. When times get hard, you just got to lean on your team.
That's what you think, huh? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Tyler's got to agree to it, but I mean, I have been pretty hot of late.
Oh, you've been hot?
Yeah.
You've been ready? Okay. All right.
Been pretty hot of late.
I agree we need to change something up.
It is it's about the people.
The vibes are bad.
This is, wow, you're right. When Tyler agrees to it, you know it's in a tough spot. He usually is holding on to God's unchanging hand until it's over. And apparently right now, it's over for it.
You saying I'm stubborn?
Yeah, you hanging in there. he's like someone with an addiction. Just all right, one more time and then we'll do it.
Rebels.
I thought it is just one more and then we do it. But he's
your mom didn't
in.
Raise no quitter, man.
He's a towel. He's throwing this sucker in. So we'll figure it out. I don't know. Maybe stay away from the Astros. Listen, it's on the line tonight, right? Like they lose tonight. It's over, right, fellas? I think, right, we talked about this before the show, Clinton. By the way, Hunter Brown gets the ball, and they're playing the damn A's. All right, and by the way, Hunter Brown is still in play for the Cy Young. It completely got away from Scooble last night as he tried to snap a ball to first base between his legs that flew completely over his head that led to – I mean, he gave up three runs in an inning and they didn't grab a hit. So that's still on the line for them. But if they've got any chance, hell, I think they may have to just win out. It feels like that way. If they have any chance, they have to win out because the Red Sox and the Tigers are in front of them. The Tigers and the Guardians are kind of fighting it out because they're one game apart in the AL Central to wild card. But all three of those teams have the tiebreaker over the Astros, which means they have to finish ahead of those teams. There's no one game playoff anymore. They've got to finish ahead of those teams, which means, Clint, for them, they got to win it out and still probably sweat.
Well, the good thing here is you've got Detroit, who's playing Cleveland, and they immediately turn around and play the Boston Red Sox. And so you got a lot of head-to-head action there, which means there can be more movement and somebody has to move. Because those are the three teams that are ultimately ahead of you, that you got to bank on moving and kind of shaking out here. So, yeah, it starts with the Astros. I don't know if they have to win out, but I mean, I'd imagine they got to They got to win the majority of their games left. Starts there, but I think just there's any way you slice it, somebody's got to lose in those series, and there's a good chance it could fall in the favor of the Astros still. I think there's still an outside shot there.
Yeah, I mean, the best there is you win out, the Tigers lose out. Then you could roll because that's the team that's closest to you.
Yeah.
And again, like I said,
which the Tigers are in a rough patch right now.
Yeah, they've lost seven straight is where they are. And they just lost the start for their best pitcher who won't pitch maybe the last game of the season. Maybe he doesn't pitch again, which will be problematic for them because their other starters are struggling. And they're facing, as you said, teams that are both still in it, in the Red Sox and the Guardians. So, big one tonight. Again, we'll see if Jeremy Peña goes. He's had the oblique thing, the latest injury there. He didn't go last night, which, you know, doesn't help when this team gets three singles the entire game.
Yep.
And which is just pathetic. But, I mean, obviously, he's been their best hitter this season when he's been healthy. So that's one to watch to see if he's able to go. He's had that oblique thing. He's missed the last couple of games. So that's one to watch. So I think the season is on the line tonight for the Astros, right? I mean, even if it didn't technically – if they lose the Hunter Brown start, like, that's a backbreaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a
backbreaker. 5 o'clock fire.
All right, let's look at the injury report, Clint. And there were three who did not practice and then two that were limited for the Texans. The three that did not practice were Derek Stingley Jr. with the oblique. He missed the second half and a lot in some of the first half in the game against the Jags. This is a rib oblique thing that he's kind of been struggling since the Rams game. He didn't practice. Jakob Johnson, he didn't practice with a hamstring. And Titus Howard, as D'Amico said earlier, wasn't feeling well, an illness. Hopefully he's back tomorrow. He didn't practice. That one's probably obviously the least serious of them all. Nico Collins was limited with the knee. And then Jake Andrews, who played off that ankle, he was limited with that high ankle sprain that he has been rolling with. Derek Stingley is the big one. Titus Howard, illness on a Wednesday, you probably feel like that hopefully will pass through and he'll be all right. But Derek Stingley Jr. is arguably your best defensive player, your only All-Pro from last year. That changes your defense in a major, major way, especially you lose Gardner Johnson to lose him as well if he's unable to go. That's the one we're really going to be watching this week.
Yeah, I think both of those two you mentioned at the end there, Titus Howard and Derek Stingley Jr. are obviously the two to watch, man. I know the offensive line has been the main focus and protection is a big deal, and really beyond Titus Howard, your next right guard right tackle is probably Blake Fisher. I guess you could always move Ariante Ursary and slide Cam Robinson in. So we start a tackle shuffle if Titus Howard's not able to go. Hopefully this sickness comes and goes and he can actually play, gets back to practice tomorrow. But yeah, the big one is that Derek Stingley Jr. This is a team that's going to win with their defense first and foremost. And Derek Stingley Jr. is, you know, there's a lot of really good players over there. There's a lot of important players over there. But I don't know that anybody's more important than Derek Stingley from a standpoint of being able to hone in on one wide receiver and say, take this guy out of the game, or at least minimize the impact that he can have on this game. I think that is very, very real. And so to not have that piece on the defense, which you're going to have to win defense first, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. So hopefully he's all right and he can tough it out and play.
Yeah, he's now, it may not hurt you this week, right? Was it Cam Ridley? Is that their best?
Yeah.
Their best guy, Cam Ward. But, hell, obviously it helps. And like you said, Tremont Smith played pretty well, but you don't want to live on that.
Well, I would think that this is a week that you wouldn't travel him. He wouldn't shadow, man. There's really not anybody unless he just started going off for you to go to that. But you would like to be able to disguise some with a young quarterback and see if you can't turn the ball over, which they haven't done much this year. You know, there's some things that you would like to do that Derek Stingley would make a lot easier on a defensive play caller to do it. So you'd love to have him. But like you said, Tremont Smith stepped in last week and really, you know, stayed out of the highlight reel. And that's all you can ask at that
that's
point.
So, yeah, that is the latest. Derek Stingley Jr. is the one we will really keep an eye on when it comes to the injury situation. Also, by the way, for before the Titans, Cam Ward was limited with a calf and ankle issue. J.C. Latham, their tackle, did not practice today. Kevin Zeitler, their guard with a bicep, he was limited in action as well. So those are some of the important pieces for the Titans that didn't practice today. So we'll keep that going tomorrow. That's a big thing, Derek Stingley Jr.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, D'Amico Ryans did address the C.J. Gardner-Johnson situation. Before we get there, a move was made by Nick Caserio and D'Amico as we felt like looking at the depth chart, they're going to have to add somebody to this team in the secondary. They bring in Zion Childress, who is off the Cowboys practice squad. They add him this morning. He was already in practice today, practicing a lot of nickel along with Jalen Petrie, which is interesting because Miles Bryant was already there. He played a lot of that. But as you know with this, Clint, when you sign somebody off their practice squad, that means they got to be on your roster. So I think there's a shot that we not only just see him on special teams, but there's a shot that he may get some run in the secondary this week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he plays. I mean, I think Miles Bryan is your backup, slot defender. I think Miles can play outside corner. He can play safety as well, I believe, if I remember correctly. I think he can play outside corner. You've got a couple of guys on the practice squad that are true outside corners that you could elevate. It'll be interesting to see where this new cat, Zion Childress, where he fits. You said he's practicing at the nickel defender spot, which leads you to believe that Miles Bryant probably is spending more time at the safety position. So we'll see how they roll this thing out with this secondary. No Jimmy Ward, no C.J. Gardner-Johnson, potentially no Derek Stingley, definitely no Jalen Smith, the rookie out of USC. So they're definitely missing a few pieces there.
Yep. But the piece we know they're missing is C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a guy who played 90%+ of the snaps in all three games, including 93% of the snaps against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. D'Amico Ryans, he was live right here at 3 o'clock on the drive. He spoke about why he felt it was needed to move on from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Here was his response.
Just started. I know everyone saw the news where we released CeeDee. Just wish CeeDee the best. Unfortunately, we just moved on. And for me, every decision I make is always in the best interest of our team. I felt it was the best decision for us to move forward. And so now we're here. We're on to the Titans.
All right. That is D'Amico Ryans speaking about the move from moving on from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He also then gave his thoughts on the reason that it was just the best thing for the team.
Yeah, because it's my decision to move on. I know it's best for my team.
All right, he knows what's best for his team. He kind of brought that up multiple times. He knows his team. He understands what's best for his team. Your thoughts on his reaction, his response to the move that he made.
I'm not going to waver now. I mean, I feel strongly about this. I admire and respect D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio's ability to make tough decisions. Most of them involve trading guys or moving on from guys. Maybe not the first month of the season. I don't like to see it, but their ability to say, nope, we got to go in a different direction. We're not going to wait two more years to do it. We're not going to wait till the contract's up to do it. We're just going to eat the fact that we made a piss poor decision in bringing this guy in here. We did not vet this guy. He's not a good fit for us. Whatever may be, I admire and respect their ability to say, hey, man, get the hell up out of here. We're going to move on without you. I mean, that is a hell of a way to move. That's a power move. That is one way to keep your guys in check and to keep guys understanding that, hey, you're going to move in a certain way, and the way that D'Amico and Nick want you to move, or you're not going to be here. Again, I hate to see it happen the first month of the season. I would rather play a year and then go, hey, this ain't going to work, let's move on, than disrupt everything right in the middle. clearly something went down where D'Amico Ryan said, I can't let this continue. I can't let this get to, I can't let this fester, where whether it's being disrespectful to him as a coach or Nick as a general manager or some of the different leaders in the locker room that this team relies heavily on. Something happened where D'Amico had to say, hey man, I'm cutting bait, I'm moving on from this cat, and I feel really good about doing it.
Yeah. It was, I guess, a disruption in the locker room. That just based off his comments and how he spoke. And again, as I said, he was live right here on the drive, 3 o'clock. Based off his comments, it seemed like he was such a distraction. He had become such a distraction in the locker room that he felt like he had to remove it. Like it seemed, the way he kind of talked about it, I'm not going to use the word cancer, but something where it felt like he needed to do that for his team. That's the way it came up.
Well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a very vocal player. I don't think he's going to fall in line to anything D'Amico and Nick ever want, like they want players to do. I don't think he was ever going to be that way. That's why it was kind of an interesting sign when they did sign him. I liked it, but it was kind of an interesting fit, I guess, if you will. I just don't think those guys are willing to move much on you call it a cancer, call it a disruptor, call it an energy vampire. I just don't. I think those those are things where these guys just are not going to budge on in terms of their culture and their standard. And obviously, C.J. Gardner-Johnson pushed those buttons.
Yep. All right, coming up on the other side, let's take a look at something that. The one thing the Texans have to stop saying and doing. This is the one thing to Clint Sterner they've got to stop doing. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Text line coming in. This is coming from a Cowboys fan. Y'all can have Zion. I'd assume he's probably not as bad as Dallas's defense is. I would assume that he's probably not somebody they got to have.
Weak ass Cowboys.
Hopefully D'Amico can coach him up and have him be able to be viable around that piece. Hopefully that is the case. But text line coming through. We'll get to here in just a second. The one thing Clint believes the Texans need to stop saying and doing. I hope they make the move with the OC and make Gerard Johnson the OC. Do it now. I mean, again, like you're running into similar things of like, you know, I mean, how different, like, is this going to be? I mean, you're running into somebody else who has not called plays. But I know CJ, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, the interesting thing there is one, he has not called plays, but I think even more interestingly is I mean, he's been in a building. And this is the second guy in a row that supposedly this is a collaborative effort, right? Everybody in the building, D'Amico will tell you, Nick will tell you, it's a collaborative effort, man. We're all in this thing together. And I just I'm not saying that I would be against it. I think 3 weeks in, that's a tad strong, bit aggressive. Yeah. I think you got to give Nick Caley more than 3 weeks. I think, to be fair, I don't know that if halfway through the season, if they know, if D'Amico knows this clearly isn't it. I would try Gerard Johnson and see if you've got your next play caller right there in house. Absolutely. I don't know about 3 weeks in, but I really struggle, Ron, with the in-house moves, because again, I mean, this has been sold. This isn't like Chip Kelly came in here and said, everybody shut up and listen, this is my staff, and if you know, I'm running this show, I'm gonna delegate, but you're gonna do everything I want to do, and it's not working, so you cut the head off the snake, right? I mean, this is supposedly a collaborative effort of everybody involved having a role and having input and things of that nature. So it's hard for me to get to the point of elevating somebody within, especially this early.
Yeah. All right. D'Amico Ryan spoke on the coach's show yesterday, and he talked about the process of how they get this thing moving in the offense in particular, but this thing moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I do not, because I know the process.
Right.
I know what we're teaching. I know what works. It hasn't it hasn't changed.
Right.
It's just a matter of everybody just making sure we're doing first and foremost what we're coached to do.
Right.
Right. If we start there, let's do what we're coached to do. Know what we're coaching. We know our process and how we structure the week, how we practice. I know it works.
Yep.
Now, when it gets to game day, are we executing and doing the things that we need to do? That's winning football, yeah. Right? And if you play winning football on Sunday, that's what it's going to take. You got to play winning football on Sunday.
All right, there it is. I know for you, hearing that, we've heard similar statements a lot, and that's something you feel like they should maybe look at moving on.
Yeah, I just think they need to stop saying and doing that stuff, man. I mean, this process over results, the stick to the process. It's just not real. I mean, I could lean into it, and I really liked it when D'Amico was getting all the bad apples out, getting all the cancers all out of the building, and they were building this roster, and they were still clearly short of you know the players that were going to take them there. But you're here, man. I mean, you've got everything built the way that you want, or at least you expect to have everything built the way that you want it, and whatever the process is on offense, it needs to change, right? I mean, I guess I could see the process conversation. Like, D'Amico's got this thing figured out on defense. Doesn't matter who you plug in. You can cut guys. Guys can get hurt. You plug them in. You still play a high-level defense. They know defensively. I can agree with that. They know defensively what the process actually produces, right? They know the fruit that process is going to bear on the defensive side of the football. Stop saying it about the offensive side of the football. You guys don't have anything figured out offensively. You don't have a clue of what you're doing, of whether it's going to bear fruit or not. Nobody does. And the reality of it is what you're doing offensively is going the wrong direction. And so, I don't know. I'm just the whole – during times like this, when your offense is one of the worst offenses in football, when you are further away from getting things right that were your main priorities – 3 months ago than you were 3 months ago, you're going the wrong direction. Nobody wants to hear about processes and stay in the course and trusting and believing. You know, there clearly offensively some things need to change, and whatever's been going on has not been the right path, the right journey, the right process.
Is your thought that they need to come off of their current processes, or that they need to stop talking about that?
Well, no, I think offensively they need to figure out what that process is going to be.
It's got to be different.
You know, I'll argue that installing a new offense, and now that we know the offense stinks, like the process you use throughout training camp of just unleashing the hounds on the offense, on these tackles, and on C.J. Stroud was a poor decision. You know, the having C.J. Stroud stand at the line of scrimmage with everybody bunched in tight and trying to process what's going on is not a good – it's not been a good result that process has brought about. I don't know that – like, it's almost like a crutch, you know what I mean? Like, that since they've gotten here, and that's kind of a Nick Caserio deal too. The process thing is almost like a crutch. If we're just gonna blindly commit to this process and hope that guys can execute better, that's a tough pill for me to swallow. Right?
Yeah. No,
like you're gonna stick.
It's just hard to believe in whatever their processes are, well, because we've just not seen any.
But
any
a big part of their process, let's just take the pass protection for instance. Like, a big part of their process is sticking to the techniques and mechanics and getting them right. We've been hearing that crap for 2 years now.
Yeah.
And your pass pro still stinks. Like, who's coaching these guys? These guys are pros. I mean, we've had some of the highest paid guys in the game in here.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it can't be about just stick to, you know, work your techniques and mechanics. That process has to be adjusted on the offensive side in particular. I guess I'm just tired of hearing it, you know, covering them and being a fan. Like, I'm just tired of hearing the process over results and process, and then the results are just, you go out there and it's like, I mean, because this offense, I mean, I hope like hell D'Amico Ryans isn't looking at this offense and going, well, we've played three close games. Let's keep doing what we're doing. I'm afraid that's what that's how he looks at it. But God, I hope that's not what they're looking at.
Growing,
because this offense is bad.
I'm with you. I just don't know. I don't know if they're, as I said to you earlier, equipped to go ahead and be able to make these sweeping changes.
Didn't have no problem with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That was a sweeping change.
Yeah, that's just taking somebody out. This one is, hey, man, we got to change. We got to change what we do.
What they're doing offensively can't be no better for this football team than C.J. Gardner-Johnson was.
Maybe they look at it and say, all right, we were more, you know, Patriots, my time at the Patriots for Nick Kalen. Maybe let's shift more to my time with Sean McVay. Maybe that style of offense works
okay,
better.
Okay,
That's a different. I don't know that they're going to do that. I don't. All right, coming up as we continue, we'll get you ready for tomorrow, a little thirsty Thursday. Buffalo Wild Wings will be in spring. We'll tell you more about that. And look, a big positive. This was something that we were having some concerns. A big positive that I think we can now take a deep breath on with the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up next. Sexiest show in Houston right there, baby.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Text line coming in. The results are the process, Clint, as someone texted in. Someone said it's like watching a Jeff Fisher coach team. All defense, no offense. All right, Steve McNair is rolling around in his grave. Hold on just a second now. We had a little offense. Eddie George over there in Bowling Green saying, slow down now. But we had a little offense. We did a little something. And D'Amico has had some offense before. Yeah, they were at offense 2 years ago. Some last year. All right. By the way, tomorrow, come on out. A little thirsty Thursday, week 4. Come make some bad decisions on a good Thursday. We got prizes. We got things that you can... that you can win. You know the drive doesn't come empty-handed. We will be at Buffalo Wild Wings in spring. 6825 Grand Parkway, West Spring, Texas. That is where we will be tomorrow. Come on out. Hang out with us 2 to 6. Shout out to our good friends at Bud Light. Bud Light girls will be there and around and hooking you up with some things as well. Drinks and things of that nature. Not don't get everybody start coming out here thinking anything nasty. Buffalo Wild Wings as well. But again, we'll be in spring of Grand Parkway. Come on out and hang out with us tomorrow. Get you some good food, some drinks, win some prizes. We'll be doing our thing out there. Remember, I guess is that we're doing, Tyler? Clint's got the best bets that we're gonna do.
I wasn't sure. I put some together.
Did you?
Nah, you know what? F that. I'm going with my board tonight. We can come up with a plan if we want for tomorrow.
That's
moving
right.
Forward.
Deserves, best bets deserves that.
It deserves that. And I'll say this. If you
deserve some winners. Damn it.
Come on, baby. Get in the green now. I promise you this. If you're not in the green, I'm gonna put money the next time on best bets.
Oh, I like that. I like that
a
lot.
I believe in you. If you're not in the green tomorrow, I'm gonna put money on something on the next best bet.
Damn, that almost makes me want to lose. Just kidding.
Okay,
just
well
kidding.
You can't.
Nah,
do
I'm
that
kidding.
Over
you know, you know me. You that ain't true.
Them.
But that okay. will be a nice silver lining if it happens.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. It will be. All right. So that's coming up here in just a bit. Nick Caserio, he will join Texans All Access coming up behind us. That ought to be one to listen to after, obviously, he was involved in the move with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We heard from D'Amico earlier today. We will hear from the general manager on Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, the voice, and John Harris. They will have that for you coming up right behind us. Area 45, 8 to midnight. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago. They will take you up to first pitch and also talk about that post-game show. And if the Astros season is still alive, they've got to win tonight. Hunter is on the mound. They have to win this game tonight. All right, Clint, you touched it briefly yesterday. And I think this is something that, you know, I think maybe the biggest positive from the game, and yes, it was frustrating as hell, right? But, Clint, I think we can get to a space, right, where we can feel better and more comfortable that the thing that scared the living daylights out of Texans fans coming out of the Monday night game was that, okay, so can teams just run it all over us? Like, good God, they just rushed for 169 yards, and this is not a team known to just get up and move people the way they did, right? They may get some big chunks in the run game, but as you said, man, it was a lot of 6 and 8 and 5 and just running it through. And they were facing, going into week 3, the number one rushing team in football. That's what Jacksonville was. In this game, Jacksonville's offense sputtered a lot because they couldn't get the run game going the way they had all season. 24 rushes for 86 yards. I think we can take a deep breath, Clint. And I think that's the biggest positive. They cleaned up the run defense issues they had in that game.
Yeah, that was big. I mean, I think when you go 30 rushes for 169 yards by Tampa Bay and not necessarily a power run team, then you got, you know, it piques your interest a bit. I mean, you hope that's not an issue. And the kind of interior D-line rotation by committee kind of deal, no big figure in there, you wonder if somebody's finally figured something out. And yeah. And which I look, I obviously acknowledge the problem, but I didn't. The one thing I don't worry about, I don't worry about D'Amico Ryans plugging holes and figuring things out on the defensive side of the football. Injuries in the secondary, he's got ways to still put an elite product on the field. Not the biggest presence on the interior defensive line. You have one rough game. I think he's got answers to fill it, and he damn sure did. Now, I think one difference was Tommy Togai was in there, and he looked pretty good. So
yeah, maybe he's going to start being active. Yeah. Yeah, in these games. No, that was because Clint, they can't be a group that just gives up the run like that, because it just then obviously takes away what their biggest strength is, right? If you go into a game and you know you can run the football, that is just naturally going to slow down your pass rush. That is going to make your rushers have to think, right? And obviously, like it did with the Bucs, it takes you out of third and long, right? And we saw that. The Jags were in third and long, you know, much more, and they could pin their ears back and rush the passer and give him problems, right? And so that is a big thing, because if that was a big chink in the armor where you could just give up run,
yeah. Like,
Baltimore is coming, all of these other teams, it just changes the way this defense goes. And, Clint, it didn't seem like to me, and I know you watched the film, it didn't seem like to me that they had to send a lot of extra to come up to stop the run. It looked like they were just able to do it in their
Yeah, look, I just think they got broadsided. I think they got blindsided by a scheme that they couldn't really figure out. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're getting put in the lap of the linebackers with a different scheme. And I think they just got kept off balance by Tampa Bay. Yeah. But again, I think D'Amico's the best in the business when it comes to overcoming injuries and disguising to make sure guys can't be targeted. And then in this instance, you know, responding to something that in somebody that had your number for four quarters. And I just trust D'Amico as much as I do anybody on the defensive side of the football to get those things fixed. And he proved that to be true.
So good to see that rolling through. Somebody texting said, you're going to be saying that until they get their asses kicked by Baltimore. Listen, I ain't going to lie to you now. Baltimore, go check and see what they've been doing running the football lately. They've had back-to-back weeks where they've been under 100 yards with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, which is odd. He had 23 rushing yards against Cleveland.
Yeah, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry did?
Derrick Henry. He had 50 against the Lions. So I'm not saying. I know they've been able to put it on you in the past, but they can continue to play solid. They should be fine. Again, come out with us tomorrow. Buffalo Wild Wings, Thursday, in spring. of Grand Parkway. Come make your way and join us. We'll be there from 2 to 6. Shout out to Bud Light, Buffalo Wild Wings as well. All right, here we go. This is a big one. Tyler is he's in the red. Not a lot of offers, but he's 4 of 10 this week. Trying to get in the green, and he's trying to get in the green for the first time this week. Let's get him. Let's get T-Mill's best bets.
Come yes, sir. I got 5 more. I ain't no quitter. At least not yet. If it goes bad tonight, it might be tomorrow.
You flinched on the quitting. Let's just be honest. You thought about it.
No, well, I wasn't sure what our plan was, so I put a board together, and I was stressing myself out, so I felt like I should give this board because I was stressing myself out, put it together. But I got 5 more. All it's going to take is a 5 for 5 night, and we're right back in it for the week. That's all it's going to take. We've done it before. Here they are, very quickly. If you miss any, head to @TMillRealDeal on Twitter. First, Mets at Cubs over 3.5.
It's a huge series for the Mets.
Over 3.5 runs in the first 5 innings of that one for the Cubbies and the Mets. In that same ball game, I am on the Cubs money line. It's almost even odds. I got Chicago beating the Mets tonight. I got the Dodgers minus a run and a half. That hook in there, run and a half for the Dodgers. They will be at the Diamondbacks. Dodgers minus 1.5. And then the last two are 2 overs for you. Rays at Orioles tonight. I'm on over 8 runs in that one. And then that low number I usually really like for an over. Marlins at Phillies over 7.5 runs in that one. Score 8, win some money. Those are your 5 best bets. For the love of God!
Yeah, boy, I ain't got
let's get some winner!
I ain't got a lot of Rays Orioles in me. I ain't seen a lot of the Rays and the Orioles.
That's a busy board, man.
It is. I love it. I love it. Marlins, Phillies. Are the Phillies still playing their guys?
I checked on that, and from what I could tell from some of the beat people, yeah. But
no Astros?
No, you got to take a break, man. I'm surprised you didn't go for Hunter strikeouts.
Nope, didn't even look at him.
Hunter might really empty the clip.
I did not open the Astros game portal on my betting site. I don't want to even look at it. I just need a win tonight. Just give me a damn win, man. That's all I need.
Dang, Clint.
You need 5 of them.
He didn't even open it.
You need 5 of them, bub.
Now, he needs more than 5. Let's just be honest. Let's put this out on the table. Tyler needs the Astros to win 3 more games.
Badly.
I forgot about that.
That is a substantial wager.
This is what are we talking here? Just ballpark us.
It's 3 figures and it doesn't start with a 1.
There you go. We can make you some money. We'll
come
get there.
Come on now.
We'll get there.
I think they will.
We got to get Hunter. We got to get Hunter tonight. Hunter Brown tonight.
We'll get there tonight.
If not, tomorrow, if they don't win this game, we got to pour it out.
Oh, I believe you are correct.
I smell a little boys demand coming.
Look, we got a Walker bomb and we got a Diaz bomb. Can those two go deep tonight? They healthy? They both healthy? They both all right?
I think so. Yeah, Walker and Diaz, yeah. Who knows what Joe wants to do? Yeah, Joe don't even have enough healthy players to just swing and switch his lineup up and down the way he wants. Yeah. They lose tonight. We got a little boys demand. That may be, we may have reached the end of the road and not just, not even going to think about it. Get a W tonight and stay alive. Stay alive. And hopefully the Cleveland Guardians can continue to win over the Tigers. You could be tied with a win and the Tigers lost tied in the final wild card spot. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to Cecil Shorts III, Brandon Scott, D'Amico Ryans, who was on the show sort of today, CJ Stroud, who was on the show kind of today. We appreciate hearing from all of them. I am Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Then I look at you. All right, thanks, Tyler. Let's roll.